This episode is brought to you by Hill's Pet Nutrition. Every shelter pet deserves a second chance, and you're making it possible for thousands of them every day. Because when you feed your pet Hill's, you help feed a shelter pet, which helps make them healthy, happy, and more adoptable, changing their life forever. So they can change yours. Over 14 million shelter pets fed and adopted. Science did that. Visit hillspet.com/podcast to learn more.
Hey, After Buzzers, before we move on to your next topic, we just want to say thanks to our sponsor, Anchor. If you haven't heard about Anchor, it's the easiest way to make a podcast. Let me explain. It's free. Plus, there are creation tools that allow you to record and edit your podcast right from your phone or computer. Also, Anchor will distribute your podcast for you so it can be heard on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and many more. Plus, you can make money from your podcast with no minimum listenership, and it's everything you need to make a podcast in one place. Download the free Anchor app or go to Anchor FM to get started.
The shit has hit the fan. This is the Four Weddings and a Funeral After Show at AfterBuzz TV.
You're tuned in to AfterBuzz TV, the ESPN of TV talk. Now, let the buzz
begin. Hey, AfterBuzzers! We're back! It's episode 9 of Four Weddings and a Funeral. It is entitled Four Friends and a Secret because you're the secret. I am one of your co-hosts, Nikki Bailey, and I'm joined by the amazing and gorgeous Marielle Turner.
Hey, guys.
And the sensationally, sinfully gorgeous Eric Sinsley.
What's up, everybody?
Yeah, my co-host is fine. Mm-hmm. I'm just saying.
So are you.
Fine.
I know.
It's the universal fineness.
We is a good-looking bunch. Okay, look. All right, this is a big episode, guys.
Huge.
Mm-hmm. Huge episode.
Huge.
The last one before the finale. Let's start with our overall opinions, because we are going to get into all of it. We're going to go through each couple. We're going to talk, like, rom-com cliches, and we're going to actually play a little game, because we do fun stuff here. So, guys, general overview, what do you think?
I really loved it. I'm so happy that, you know, everyone's in the know now. I think that ending was just phenomenally acted, and yeah, I liked it.
Mm-hmm. Agreed. I think tonight's episode, the love word, the L word was thrown around the most we've heard and seen all season. So, with new couples emerging and new couples finally announcing and profounding their love to each other, and you know, it was great to see.
I agree. I feel like this, like, story wise was just like such a satisfying episode. Like, I felt like I went through all the emotions. I guffawed. Mm-hmm. I cried.
I know when it was over,
I was like, oh my god, now we have to talk about it. Yeah, so it was a lot of awesome, like, just new, just stuff. Okay. Mm-hmm. Stuff. Zara and Craig. Let's get down to it. Let's talk about Zara and Craig. Now, they, of course, are pregnant, and mm-hmm. Zara, in her usual Zara-ness, is going overboard with it, because that's who she is. But I love it. So, I love that Zara is encouraging him when it comes to the relationship with his other daughter. What do you guys think?
I think up until tonight's episode, we've kind of taken Zara for what she is, for how she's portrayed herself as this millennial, this Instagram chick, this social influencer. But the way that she handled, you know, trying to get Molly and Craig to see each other was very respectful.
Respectable.
Yeah. You know?
Yeah.
Yeah. I've mentioned this before. I haven't been the biggest fan of Zara throughout the show because she's on the line of being a little annoying to me, but this is the episode where I really liked her. I love that she put the effort in for Molly and Craig to mm-hmm. have a relationship. I think that makes you a much bigger person. It says a lot about your character that you're willing to say, like, hey, I want my husband to have this relationship with his daughter for another woman who was a secret at one point. So, yeah, I thought that was so cute, and I'm excited about their little baby, so.
I agree. I feel that we, like, underestimated Zara. Mm-hmm. I feel like mm-hmm. we were meant to, obviously, because even Craig underestimated, like, the depth of who she really is. And sure, she has, like, weird values, and she's interested in, like, superficial stuff, but she also has this really compassionate heart, and she loves her husband, and she wants what's best for him. And you have to, you just have to, like, give props where props are due.
Yeah, and we can't forget that Zara did not know about this daughter.
Yeah.
Going in and being in the relationship for however long they were together.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So we got to give kudos to that too.
Absolutely.
She's handled
it extremely well.
Exactly.
Yeah.
I think most people would be like, wait, you have a kid? Like, where is this coming from?
And then there would be like lingering resentments.
Yeah.
But it was like she like is obviously just in it for the love.
Yeah.
And you gotta
she has a big heart.
That. Yeah. I love that about her. So I loved that Zara goes to Julia to ask for permission for Craig to come to the soccer game and lies to get in mm-hmm. with the neck brace. Because Zara is not stupid. What I like is that she's not stupid. It would have been easy to play this woman like a completely flighty idiot,
mm-hmm.
but she's clearly not stupid. And I think that she was well written in that way, and even well performed because it would have been such an easy thing to just be like, oh, she's an idiot.
But yeah. The vapid influencer.
Exactly.
But it's like so much more to her character. So.
Agreed.
And I love when they were at the soccer game, Molly's soccer game, and they were all getting along. And Zara goes, so Christmas together?
Right?
And she's like, too soon.
Yeah.
She's so excited. I just love that.
Like anybody, anytime you get to expand your family,
yeah.
I think
yeah.
it should be a joyful occasion.
Mm-hmm.
What did you guys think of Craig as a father at the soccer game? What were you like? Did it warm your heart?
I think if that was his. If he had known his daughter for how old is she, 6 or 7,
mm-hmm.
and was acting like that, how he was acting, it could come off as being obnoxious. But I think he has so much angst and adrenaline built up, not only because he's watching his daughter play football, but because he hasn't been able to be involved in his daughter's life. So... I did not take it as him being obnoxious, only on the based on the fact that he hasn't known his daughter.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, it's like all this pent-up daddy energy that he needed to get out.
Yeah,
he had like a lot of enthusiasm, and I love that he had that strong love for his daughter, who he only found out about, I think... There's been a time of like a year or something.
I feel like it's been 2 years. Like,
I think
only because later in the show, Ainsley said, "You know what it is?" And this is actually it bothered me several episodes ago, but I forgot to comment on it. The way that they have time pass with those written note thingies, I get why they're doing it, but also, oh, it's too much, and it's too hard to keep track of.
Yeah, uh-huh. So I was thinking it's a year, but you're right. Ainsley didn't mention it was 2 years.
Yeah, so it's been like. It's been a good long time.
And he's been watching from afar.
Yeah.
And I love that he stood, like, defended her. I was like, no, she's a star player. Like, she needs to be playing. I just thought the whole moment was great. And I love to see, like, a nice, functional, blended family mm-hmm. on TV. So I think that was awesome.
What did you think of the fact that Julia introduced him as her friend from church?
You could tell that she was hesitating mm-hmm. and that it could have gone either way. And I'm kind of glad... she did it the way she did because that's a lot for a little kid to handle. Mm-hmm. Like, what? That's my dad?
Especially out in public. She just finished a game. Like, it really wasn't the right time to tell her.
Yeah. So I thought it was totally appropriate how she handled it.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah, I agree. I maybe wouldn't have said friend from church. I don't know. I think that's just... I would just say, like, oh, this is mommy's friend and... kind of leave it at that and then later introduce him as a
friend. Yeah, because it is a bold-faced lie.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Like, let's just leave it as a friend because they are friendly. They're mm-hmm. trying to co-parent at this point. And so leave it at that and then share that that's the father, I think.
I agree. Yeah. It's kind of messed up to start it off with a lie.
Yeah.
Then, like, where does the kid go with that?
Like, what church? You know, it's just, I don't know. I would have just left it as friend. But I do see why she's, like, slowly introducing him as opposed to being like, hey, this is your dad.
Yeah, right. Definitely. Let's talk about Duffy and Gemma. But before we do that, Marielle,
mm-hmm.
do you want to say something to our After Buzz fam.
I sure do. So before we move on to the next topic, we just wanted to thank you for making us the ESPN of TV Talk. And for us to continue to grow, we could definitely use your help. So make sure to subscribe on YouTube if you're watching on YouTube, if you're listening on iTunes. Please give us a 5-star rating. Nothing but 5. It won't work. And make sure to leave us a comment because we love to read them. We have Erica who's going to shout you guys out. So, yeah, being a part of AfterBuzz TV has meant so much to all of us. We just love the community here. If you're into dramas, comedies, we have it all. So make sure you guys check that out.
Engage with us, guys. And yes, we do have a few comments coming in, and we will read those as we get closer to those topics.
Yeah, guys, we are here. We are talking about it. It is fabulous. Gemma and Duffy. Now, look, this has been several episodes coming. Okay, we all saw it, right? Mm-hmm. We knew.
I saw it from Gemma. I did not see it coming from Duffy. Same. Until tonight.
I feel like Duffy was aware of some stuff. I think another person that we underestimated. Like, I feel like Duffy maybe knew something, had a vibe, mm-hmm. and didn't know what to do with it. I mean, did we under... Like I didn't remember Ainsley asking him to tutor her son. But, like, because I was like, oh, that's why they're spending so much time together. But no, they don't really have to spend that much time together. He had to know.
Okay, I'm going to say something that may be unpopular. I think Duffy just wants love.
And he doesn't care.
Like, yeah, he doesn't care where it comes from. Because it's like, one minute he's in love with Maya, then he's, like, with this girlfriend, and he's on the date. Like, I don't know, I just feel like... he wants a big love, and he couldn't get it with Maya and these other people, so now he's trying to get it with Gemma. And I think Gemma has genuine affection for him. Obviously, her husband just died. But Duffy is like, I don't know.
See, I feel like time is compressed to us because we watched it.
Oh, right, the years.
It's been 2 years for them.
True.
So, that's a good point.
See, that's throwing me off.
Yeah. So since we've been watching the show, they've lived 2 years of their lives. Mm-hmm. So he's had plenty of time to be in love with Maya and get over her, to date, what was her name?
Tabby
and get over her, and now to be interested in Gemma. I think he's had time.
I do think Gemma is portrayed as the villain or the biatch. Mm-hmm. And I feel like every villain and biatch that is casted into a show always has a nice side, and I feel like that's kind of how it is in real life sometimes too. And I do feel like, especially in rom-coms or in scripted series, that the villain somehow ends up with the nice guy. And I think that's what's happening here.
So, Eric, let me ask you. You feel like the villain always has a nice side, even Ursula the Sea Witch? Okay, I'm just kidding.
I could see it.
it's always a tragic backstory.
It's true. There is always a tragic backstory.
Yeah.
And because Gemma has the tragedy of losing her husband over the last 2 years.
But back to Ursula. She's just evil. I see.
There's a difference between like an evil villain versus just a basic bad guy.
Yeah.
A complicated, sort of.
And Gemma and girl. Other villain mean girls have a facade on.
That is true.
Certain front on, and that's not really who they are.
Cool. I just wanted a reason to talk about The Little Mermaid. I wasn't actually picking a fight, but you justified that quite well.
Mm-hmm.
Mad props. So I especially loved how much Bumble was mentioned in this episode, obviously sponsoring. So have you guys ever used Bumble?
Yeah.
I've never used Bumble. I've used other apps, but never Bumble.
I was on Bumble for like 5 minutes, and then I was like, wait, I have to do all the work?
Yes, you never appealed to me.
I don't want
to
do that.
I was like, no, I'd rather go on the apps where like the guys can talk to me.
Right.
I can talk to them. Like, right. It's a mutual exchange.
Spoken like a true pretty woman. I'm just saying. We pretty people, we don't need to go out. I'm just kidding. Do you, but whatever it takes. So what did you think of the moment when Duffy tells Gemma he has a date and she fires him?
I mean, it's quite apparent that her go-to mechanism, her defense mechanism, is to attack back and to make it seem like she doesn't care
But she's above it. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But it comes off, and I feel like this is a cliche for rom-coms or really any certain similar character to who she's playing, is that's how they're reacting. And eventually, the person receiving that reaction is going to be like, wait a minute, why are you overreacting so much? Mm-hmm. And that's what happened.
Yeah. Yeah, clearly a defense mechanism. You know, she doesn't want to acknowledge her feelings. And she probably also feels like he doesn't feel the same because he's going out on these Bumble dates and he's not really being flirtatious in any way. So it was
I felt like Duffy got that. Like, I felt like, because he even said, are you upset that I'm going on this, about the Bumble thing? And she was like, no, I don't care about mm-hmm. that. So, so yeah, I get it. And I agree that it was totally a coping mechanism. I love that Giles referred to the new tutor as possibly being Mrs. Doubtfire.
Oh, I love that.
That was perfect. That was perfect.
And I loved, too, mad props to Salvador Perez, that she was dressed exactly like mm-hmm. Mrs. Doubtfire. The color of the sweater was different, but she had the same hair, the same brooch, the same shirt, all of it. So,
side note, did you guys watch Hey Arnold?
Yeah.
No.
Okay. Is this not reminding you of Helga and Hey Arnold at, like...
Oh, yeah.
You know?
How, like, she... Okay, so Hey Arnold, she absolutely hated Arnold, but secretly she was, like, in love with him.
Yes.
It's this the whole dynamic.
This is what's going on.
Yeah.
And also, I have a question for you guys, because this is what I was observing and wanted to know. What do you do when your crush has no insight and can gauge that you like them?
You tell them.
Yeah.
You tell them.
I am.
How long do you play this game that she's playing?
I don't know. I don't. I am direct to a fault, and have traditionally scared people away with my directness. Because as soon as I'm interested, I will say, "Hey, I'm interested." So,
oh, you're braver than
yeah,
me.
Yeah. So I don't know. That's my MO.
So why do we think that she's acting like this? Why is it? Is it how she grew up? Is it?
I think it's how she grew up, and I think. For some people, it's hard to, like, put yourself out there and put your feelings out there.
Scared of rejection.
Exactly. Scared of rejection. I do agree with you that you should, at this age, be like, hey,
yeah, when you're
go
grown,
out?
you should be having grown people conversations.
Exactly.
Right.
I think that for Gemma, I would imagine that losing a spouse and then thinking about allowing someone new into your life mm-hmm. must be incredibly difficult.
That's a
and
good
so
point.
I can imagine a certain level of denial because there must be guilt. There must be... all kinds of stuff. Like, how can I be attracted to this man? My husband hasn't even been dead for a year. You know, like, mm-hmm. like
yeah.
So I imagine there's some of that for her.
Yeah.
But I am really glad that she had an aha moment, you know, and she went to take Giles to see Julius Caesar, and she apologized to Duffy.
Mm-hmm.
And she started to say that driving you is, and then she said, oh, not such an inconvenience. But
then he jumps in.
Then I love when she goes back after she goes and walks away and sees what she sees, which we'll get to. And she runs back to him and he finally says, driving with you is the best part of my day, which comes directly from Love Actually.
I know.
Exact quote.
Love that scene.
Yeah. So I was like, yay, Love Actually reference. There's so many in the show. But I think that it was really interesting that they kissed for such a long time. Did you notice all of the...
I was still focused on what Gemma had just...
seen?
Yeah.
Same. I was like a little... Because she just saw it as a little distracting from what happened directly after.
Yeah, so maybe we really couldn't, like, enjoy the deliciousness of them finally kissing.
Exactly.
Yeah. I agree. And it's interesting that she was able to enjoy I guess, you know, when you've got a guy that you're into.
Yeah.
And he says he's into you.
I mean, this is going to sound however it sounds, but it's been a while, so she probably
kissed. That'll be distracting as a mother. Well, yeah.
Husband's been dead 2 years. I don't know.
Distract me, please. Yes. Plus, I mean, I would rather experience the kiss with Duffy than realize that my best friend's best friend is, you know, so I get that.
Exactly.
That makes sense. But she did rush home to mm. handle business
uh-huh.
after the kiss. So... Mm. Before we get to that, though, we have one more couple that we need to get to.
Oh, come on.
Before we get to the couple. So, Ainsley and Bryce. I really love the whole journey of them, mostly because we get to hear Dermot Mulroney's terrible Texan accent. It is just horrifying.
I didn't think
horrifying.
It was that bad.
I hate it. And maybe it's because I have loved him my whole entire adult life. And and so I'm remembering him from, like, you know, the Family Stone when he was just adorable and sweet.
My Best Friend's Wedding.
My Best Friend's Wedding. I was an extra in that movie.
Really?
I was an extra in that. Yeah, I was living in Chicago at the time and I doing some background work.
Which
that
scene?
That is so cool.
In the karaoke scene. I'm way in the back. You can't see me.
Oh, my God. We have to watch this.
Yeah.
You can't see me.
Have you seen it?
Yeah, I've seen it, but I didn't know you were in it. So
you
now
can't
I like,
see
we
me.
Watch
yeah,
it.
But now
yeah.
we can watch it
and
knowing
be like,
that
oh,
you're
yeah. My friend Nikki's way in the yeah. back in the corner somewhere, filling up space. But, okay, so Ainsley, you know, she realizes that she needs to figure out how to make it right with Bryce. And she goes back to his house and decorates his patio.
Mm-hmm.
And then he comes home with some hoe. Sorry.
Oh, wait a second.
Sorry.
Is this
that hoe
experience?
Is part of his family tree.
Sorry. I'm sorry. I just, it got away from me. It got away from me. Whew. Regrouping now. Anyway, some chick who was his sister. Whatever. I don't know how she walked away from, like, I don't know how Ainsley put steaks on the grill and took out wine and then left it for somebody else. No, I'm eating my steak.
Yeah.
I brought them, okay?
I'm at least
yeah,
getting
take
dinner.
It to go.
Okay?
Right.
Let me go get some Tupperware so I can take my steak, please. But, but you know, she feels like, okay, I've lost my chance with Bryce. So she, too, turns to Bumble. And...
That's a very subtle shade.
Very subtle shade.
But again, shout out to Mr. Salvador Perez. That pink outfit for the Bumble date.
Bye.
What?
She's looked
pink
good this
dress,
whole series.
Pink mm-hmm. coat with in a deeper color of pink, and that purse. Oh my God, Salvador, call me and let me just come hang out in your closet. Anyway, But I love, she goes on a date with this incredible douche.
Yeah, what an
he
a
was
jerk.
A huge, enormous douche. And was saved the way we all want to be saved.
Hello?
By a cowboy who's come to rescue us from the evil person. Bryce strolls into the restaurant and she's like, yes, go away because the good guy's here. It was wonderful.
I was so glad that she was like, leave.
Mm-hmm.
Like, she didn't try and play it off. She didn't try to play hard to get back to Bryce, acting like that she was enjoying her date. That was some grown-up stuff that she did. She
really
was like, you know
yeah.
what? This is who I want.
No games.
This doucher needs to leave. And, yeah, no games.
Yeah, that was great.
I agree. I think she had gotten to the point where, like, she realized the games were not the way.
Mm-hmm.
And she was like, I know what I want. I know who I am. And this is it. So I loved that moment. I loved that he thinks that she's deep, because I would imagine being, you know, a beautiful blonde woman, people often probably don't assume that she's deep.
Right. An interior designer,
right.
They probably think she's very superficial.
Right.
So
I love that he sees that about her. And they kissed. And then obviously Ainsley spent the night.
Before we continue, one of the ways we keep all of our content for you, the listener, free of charge is our amazing sponsors, and today, Anchor is one of those sponsors. If you haven't heard about Anchor, it's the easiest way to make a podcast. Let me explain. It's free, there's creation tools that allow you to record and edit your podcasts right from your phone or computer. Anchor is going to distribute your podcast for you, so it can be heard on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and everywhere podcasts are listened to, and you can even make money from your podcast with no minimum listenership. It's everything you need to make a podcast in one place. Download the free Anchor app or go to Anchor. FM to get started.
Oh my, I love that little text. Like, hey girl, don't wait up for me. I'm gonna be Bryce. I was like, this is just unrealistic. I love it.
Right?
And she was
exactly what happened.
You
exactly.
could sense that actual genuine happiness
yeah.
in that text message.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
It was really nice. And I like you said, that he kind of swooped in and she wasn't like, oh yeah, I'm on a date. Like, I'm not thinking about you. She was like, okay, this was great.
Yes.
You can go. Like, the person I really like is here, so.
Mm-hmm.
Although, nice. The douchey banker has a Bugatti, so.
And a boat.
I might have rethought that for
Bugattis and boats. At least for a week.
The right. At least for the night.
I would have got me a couple of gifts or something, you know. Make something happen, Ainsley. Come on. All right. Let's do it. Let's
Wait.
Get. What?
Wait, don't we have one more couple?
Do we?
Tony and
You're
Andrew.
You're so right. Oh, Tony yes. and Andrew.
Love okay. them.
I mean, oh I feel like God. We can sum it up pretty quickly.
Okay. Maybe Tony not. With the integrity.
Yes.
You have to admire that integrity, right?
I know.
Because if I have, like, a famous MP who's obviously rich into me, rich being the most important part, but he's into me, I might say yes. And then he, I mean, Tony could have saved himself. He could have gotten his immigration papers and been good to go.
Yeah. Family first.
Yeah, but I love that he, you know, he remembered not just who he is accountable to by blood, but accountable to, like, in the global
yeah.
sense.
Yeah.
Which I think more of us need to do.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. It was very selfless to think, you know, great, that'll help me, but what about all the other immigrants in this country yeah. who need help? And I think, I don't know, I feel like, me personally, I don't know if I could be in a relationship with somebody who's so politically different, but clearly Tony has the capacity to change him mm-hmm. and to make him a better person. So I'm starting to, like, really shift them together. It's very
and
cute.
Andrew obviously has the capacity for growth, which mm-hmm. which I love, you know, and he's a thinking person. So it gives me hope, actually, for our country and for people who are so fixed in their mindset that they perhaps can't see how their political interests might affect other people. Mm-hmm. So
yeah, and Andrew, you know, debated through the whole episode and going back and forth whether or not he was going to sign off on this bill.
Mm-hmm.
And up until the proposal, I thought that he was not going to sign it. That's where it was kind of leaning. And then his solution was to propose to Tony and mm-hmm. say, hey, I'm going to sign it because I'm nervous about, you know, how I'm going to look or whatever. And then I thought for a moment that Tony was going to say yes. And then his hilarious aunt stepped in. And
as aunties are wont to do.
Yeah. Like,
aunties...
You better marry that
yeah,
man.
You, aunties are so vocal, and she was so much fun. But I loved. I don't think he even needed that from her. I think he would have made.
Yeah, I
you
agree.
Know, like I think
he's had his mind made
yeah,
up the whole time.
And
yeah,
the thing that struck me so much about Tony is that he's so much younger than Andrew, but obviously.
He's got his shit together.
Yeah, right. So much right? wisdom.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So I really admire that about him.
And I mean, he's been through a lot, you know?
Yeah.
He is gay. He's a minority. He's an immigrant.
Yep.
And so,
it's a lot of
you know,
levels
he's
there.
A tough guy.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. That's what we call your intersectionality.
Mm-hmm.
He's an intersectional person.
Yeah.
Because he's got so many forms of oppression working against him.
Yeah.
But I loved it, and I loved the speech that Andrew gave
mm-hmm.
when he, you know, was in that position where, you know, it's time for the vote. The division bell has happened, and Marcus comes in to tell him, and he's like, I know what a division bell is. I've been voting since George Michael sang about women, which was...
Oh, I died.
One of my favorite lines of the episode.
That's so yeah. funny.
I am a diehard George Michael fan. It was the first concert I ever got to go to by myself without parental supervision. He died on Christmas Day, and I just can't.
Oh, no.
Take a moment.
Oh, no. Grab a hanky. Grab her a hanky. Oh, she's
Rest
got
in
a
peace,
hanky.
George has one.
Rest in peace, George. Anyway, but it was such an inspirational speech, and I love it, and I also love that they didn't give us some sappy, like conclusion to the speech. I love that people threw things at him, because... You know what? It's not that easy. Like,
yep.
these are not easy issues to resolve. These are not easy issues to talk about and to deal with opposition on. So that was perfectly true.
Mm-hmm.
I think that...
Very realistic.
Yeah. And I also feel like, you know, we don't get to see British people throw things at each other enough. You know? I think Americans feel like they're so well-behaved, but eh...
Wrong.
Try again.
Hashtag Brexit. Whatever. Anyway, so... Are we ready to move on
yeah,
to
let's
the
do it.
Couple?
Do
let's
it.
Do it.
The couple, Cash and Maya.
Where do we start? Well, the episode opens up with them in bed together.
Which is a big jump, I think.
Yeah.
It was a big jump. And also, who can sleep all booed up like that? Can you do that? Can you sleep all, like, tangled up like that?
Yeah.
Really?
I mean, they had some breath mints thrown in at them, so... But in real life, yes, it can be a bit.
It can be.
In real life, I'm like, get off me. It's hot. I can't. I don't understand.
Well, eventually, yes. I feel like in the beginning, you know, you can be like all
but they
booed
like
up
woke
together.
Up all booed up. And I'm like, get off.
It's a rom-com.
Yeah.
I know.
What do you want, Nikki?
I know. You're right. You're right.
But so they're obviously not ready to say the three words, I love you. And so... Although they are being a tad bit shady in this relationship, I did like how they used "my foot's asleep."
I did,
yeah,
too.
They started that
as
saying,
their
yeah.
way of
that was
you know.
Cute.
I did think that she probably should have told Ainsley before sleeping with him.
Yes,
I don't know. I just
she should have told
like,
her.
She should have told Ainsley.
But, yes, but yes, like sleeping together is a big
exactly
that makes
like,
it worse.
You're gonna sleep with him before you tell your best friend.
And this is what Eric and I were talking about last week. We were saying like Maya has dug herself into such a deep hole of lies and deceit and betrayal. That even if we want to root for Cash and Maya...
It's hard.
She's been so shitty to her friend in this.
She's digging herself deeper and deeper.
Yeah, and like it'd be one thing if it were earlier on in the process, or if she hadn't slept with him, or hadn't kissed him first or whatever, and she told Ainsley. But like, she's gone way past the point of, like, this being okay, or Ainsley allowing this to be okay.
Yeah, I think Ainsley's reaction totally makes sense.
And even the fact that Ainsley said to her... Not are you seeing Cash? She said, are you sleeping with him?
Exactly. I was like, why would you have sex with this man before you tell your best friend?
Yeah.
Like, that doesn't.
Because that's like, that's past the point of no return, you know? So, like, now you're just like. So I don't see Ainsley, whatever, that's for predictions. But I just was like, dude, really? Like, Maya went way too far. I don't know how to root for her now. I don't know how to root for this relationship. I want to root for the relationship because they're so good together. And I had this last week after the show, and I was thinking about the show because I do that. I thought, it is so nice to see a black woman and an Indian man together. Like, I have never seen that before.
Never.
Mm-hmm. And so... I was like, look at all this brown deliciousness, right?
It breaks some barriers.
It's weird.
Yeah. No, I felt the same way.
You know, and I was just like, oh, and I want them to be together because, you know, like, I think we live in a culture where we have decided that only certain types of people should be with certain other types of people. And even, you know, in this country with our really interesting history about race, like, it's still weird. I'm in an interracial relationship, and it's still weird to be in interracial relationships. So, like, to me, it's so great to see them together and the two cultures that could mix and be wonderful. But Maya, you fucked it up.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
So, like, you have made it so I can't root for this relationship the way I want to.
Yeah, I completely agree. Like, everything you said, it's like, I love them together. I agree about the interracial and, like, seeing a black woman, Indian man, which you don't see ever, together and learning about each other's cultures, but that's your best friend's fiancé. You just slept ex-fiancé. You just slept with them. Like,
There's no... I don't know.
Big no-no.
Well, Niecy Smith, or Niecy Smith at home, thank you for tuning in and watching us. She is all for Team Maya and Cash, and she also says that those catty queens, meaning Gemma, Zaya, and Tony too, cannot wait to spill the beans on Maya. Gemma has been hostile and jealous of Maya since day one.
True.
The decent thing to do would be to leave Maya and Ainsley alone so they could talk.
True.
I agree with you.
Yeah.
But no, Gemma had to go get Ainsley back a BFF. Maya has tried to tell Ainsley many times about the situation, but Ainsley didn't have time.
Okay, well, she only tried to tell her... Okay, she only tried to tell her many, many times in the last 24 hours, so that's the first thing. But secondly, I agree with you, Nikki, that, that Duffy, Zara, Gemma were all too happy to be there and watch. I don't know. I mean, I don't want to say that they're being that mean. I know Gemma, I think, definitely was. I think Zara was there for the reality show content of it.
Yeah.
You can tell she was like, what? Let me get some popcorn. I think Duffy, I don't know what we didn't really get a chance to explore what he was feeling and thinking, but I do feel like it was like, you know, obviously not set up to make Maya have to tell her in this way, but like the way that it happened and that nobody thought to leave the room and give them time. I
or
agree
even
with that.
Like after the fact, after Ainsley said what she said, which she was in the right to say, these are also Maya's best
and
friends.
And they
as
left
well.
Her.
And they just like nobody even was like, hey girl, just complicated, but it's gonna be okay. Like those, that, you know, you guys are all best friends together.
Yeah, so I actually, I wrote that in my notes. And then they all leave her. Like what, like, even if your best friend is wrong, like first of all, they didn't. She didn't do all that stuff to Craig and Duffy and whatever.
Right.
So they should have been like, you know what, you wrong, and I'm gonna tell you you wrong to your face. But you're also still my friend, and so I'm gonna say, you know what, it's gonna be okay. Yeah, you're right. You're 100% right.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. All right. So look, the way things are left is that Maya goes to Cash and she says, we can't do this because now Ainsley knows and I'm a terrible person. Yeah. We're terrible people. I don't know. I don't think it's going to matter ultimately. What do you think?
Are we predicting?
Oh, no.
Or are we just talking about how we felt on that?
Yeah, like, I was kind of like, when it was at the end of it, I was like, you know what? It's too little too late. Like, it's just too, like, none of it matters.
You know when a good person does something really bad and that's usually not in line with their character? I think that's what has happened. And for the first time in her life, something felt so good and so wrong, which sometimes is a high, you know?
Yeah, 100%. Yeah.
Like that one time you stole gum when you were 6 years old from Walmart or something. I know you did it.
It was earrings that said Paris from Claire's. Go ahead.
There you go. And it felt so good until you got caught.
Mm-hmm.
And you, I
never
think
got
that,
caught, but yeah, go ahead.
Oh, okay. Well, she's still happy about it then. She doesn't feel bad.
But I feel for you. Like, I understand what you're saying.
And so I think that's what's happening. I think she's just ashamed of, of what she's done.
Yeah,
so right.
Because
it was
the
wrong.
Shame.
Mm-hmm.
The shame is coming
shame
to haunt her.
Shame is like the most powerful
and
emotion.
Guilt.
Shame is a bitch.
You know? Yeah.
And guilt.
100%.
I really didn't like that that was the moment that Cass decided to say, I love you. Like, you're really... You're putting
that's a little manipulative.
Yeah, you're putting the first moment you say it, like, in this very volatile, upsetting moment for her. And it just... I mean, I like Cash, but the way he does things on the show makes him makes it hard to root for him.
I agree.
This isn't the time to tell her you love her. Like, she's clearly very upset.
Right.
I don't know.
I agree. I thought Cash doing that then was manipulative, just like Andrew proposing was manipulative. Like, I felt like, you know, I think that people, when they're not sure how to respond to something, like, go for the big gesture, thinking that that's going to make, you know, smooth everything over. Mm-mm. Yeah, I agree. Let's get into some special segment, Nisne.
Let's do it.
Okay, so...
You want to take it away. All right, guys. So, for news this week, we're going to switch it up again. Just like last week, we kind of played a game. So, we're going to take turns, or you guys can both jump on it. You can't look. You can't cheat.
Okay, I'm turning away.
And I'm just going to ask you some classic rom-com questions. If you need a hint, I will hint you. This came from thequiz.com. So let's see.
All right, let's do it. I'm ready. I'm ready.
Which movies, and you guys should play at home too, which movie saw a movie star fall in love with a bookseller?
Oh, that's easy. Notting Hill.
With a bookseller.
Notting Hill,
she got it.
All right, I didn't like that movie.
The Christmas rom-com tells multiple... this Christmas rom-com tells multiple stories.
Love Actually.
Bam! Which movie saw... This one's easy. Which movie saw Richard Gere fall for a streetwalker?
Pretty Woman!
Which rom-com centers on a Playboy bunny?
I know. Is it The House Bunny?
You're right.
I've never seen that one.
It's not that good. Honest Trailers.
Mm-mm.
Which rom-com is based on Pride and Prejudice?
There are multiples, but there's...
I don't know.
There's Clueless.
Nope, you want me to give you...
No. I have it. This is a Mr. Darcy. Bridget Jones.
You got it.
Ah, Bridget Jones. One of my favorites.
Which rom-com travels back in time to the Roaring Twenties?
I
haven't even heard of this movie.
That's a little...
I have no idea. The Great Gatsby? Yeah. I don't know what.
Midnight in Paris.
I have heard of that movie, but I've never seen it.
Let's do three more. Which rom-com starts with a divorce?
Starts with a divorce.
Do you guys know at home?
I don't know.
Give us a clue or something.
All right, so here are your choices. Home Again, Sweet Home Alabama, House Sitter, or The Proposal?
Sweet Home Alabama.
Home Alabama.
There you go.
Mm-hmm.
With the delightful Harry Connick Jr., yes.
Yes. This one is one of my favorite movies, actually. Which Christmas romance involves a house swap?
Oh, I love that movie. Something Holiday, right?
Yes. Holiday.
Oh, I love that movie. Oh,
Cameron
I'm going to rewatch that.
And Kate
Winslet. I've always wanted to rent Kate Winslet's house, like that little cottage.
I know.
I love that. Sorry, go ahead.
should I wrap it up?
One more.
Which movie is based on The Taming of the Shrew?
Oh, 10 Things I Hate About You.
Bam.
Oh.
It's one of my faves.
But there you go.
I did not know.
You guys at home. There you go. Round of applause, guys. You guys at home should definitely go play this if you're rom-com fans. TheQuiz.com.
That was fun.
Romantic comedy quiz.
Oh my gosh, that was so much fun.
We can maybe play again next week if we have time.
I love it.
So many classics.
Oh my gosh. So real quick, let's just do really quickly. Did you guys point out or notice any rom-com cliches?
Mine was, and I think this happened a lot in Sex and the City movie, was Maya trying to confront Ainsley, but always given an out, and not actually going for what should be done.
Mm-hmm.
And so.
Definitely.
Yeah, I would say, let me think about it. Probably the whole, like, big gesture. And this time we saw it from Ainsley, which typically in rom-coms it's the guy with the big gesture. But I think there was definitely a little bit of that. And then as well as, like I said, like, Cash saying, like, I love you in that moment.
Yeah.
Normally things are going wrong. Somebody's like, oh, my God, but I love you. So, yeah.
That was mine, too. The big gestures. I feel like we saw that over and over, that, like, in each of the couples, someone did something like sort of beyond that, you know, like Zara going to Juliet, like there was like something big that in each couple. So I love that.
Yeah.
And we did not talk about Cash and Maya potentially moving to New York, and Cash's father originally being angry about it. And then because Asif was in Cash being like, maybe I'm not going to go because Asif would be upset. And then Cash's dad came around. I love Cash's father. Yeah.
I also loved how Cash went to his mom's burial site.
Mm-hmm.
And his dad walks up and says, you always went to your mom. Mm-hmm. And that was.
Or even the fact that he came around. And I think Mindy Kaling might have put some of her own. I mean, I don't know this for sure, but with her parents being immigrants, maybe she has some insight
on,
like, the pressures there and put some of that into the character.
Totally.
Yeah. And, you know, she decides to be an actor, which is maybe not what was expected of her.
Yeah, maybe this is her story, a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
All right, guys, let's get down to the predictions.
Ooh.
Doesn't it sound like that?
It does.
It's very spooky. It's Halloween-esque.
Very goosebumps.
If you guys are just listening, I'm actually making like weird hand gestures right now.
It's kind of scary.
Predicciones, Eric Sinsley.
I am predicting the fight is going to continue between Ainsley and Maya. I think we're going to be left on a cliffhanger with those two.
Interesting. I think the final wedding, it's kind of obvious at this point, is going to be Tony and Andrew's in the final episode. I think that we're going to see Maya and Cash get together at the end because that is what happens in rom-coms. And I think from the preview, it looks like there is a year time jump. So
I was going to say that, yeah.
I think in that year, Ainsley probably comes to terms and they have a moment that makes it okay. And then she gives her the green light, like, go get your guy or whatever. Mm-hmm. And that's how they end up back together.
I'm going to just ditto on everything Mariel said because I agree. I feel like because we already have noticed how quickly time jumps in this show, I think there's going to be a time leap and then Ainsley will get herself together to get over Maya. I think Maya and Cash will move to New York. There'll be some distance, and then they'll get back together. It'll all work out in the end. Guys, next week is the season finale of Four Weddings and a Funeral. We will be back here to talk about it at 7:00 Pacific. We cannot wait.
And if you guys aren't scared right now, then there's something wrong with you. Because that was...
Seriously, I hate this whole releasing an episode a week. I just need to be able to binge it like a person.
I know.
Anyway.
I agree.
Right.
Eric, where can the people find you?
You guys can find me on all social media at Eric Stinsley.
Marielle?
Hey guys, you can find me on all social at Mariel underscore Turner.
And you can find me at Nikki Bailey underscore on all the social medias. We were so happy to spend this time with you guys, and we will see you next week!
Good night, guys!
Our founder, Kevin Undergaro, and me, Maria Menounos, would like to thank you for tuning in to AfterBuzz TV. Remember, we're not just the first, we're the biggest in the world, and we're the only destination for all your favorite TV shows. Whatever you crave, we've got it. So go to AfterBuzzTV.com and check out our lineup. Buzz you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.